Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is June the 25th, 2015, and today we're going to be talking about speaking and how that you can use speaking and giving talks to bring in clients and to also bring in income for yourself and get yourself known. Also selling products. There can be many things, many goals that can be accomplished with your speaking. So this is just a whole new world that can open up there. And of course, the main purpose for these calls, too, is to answer your questions. So you can always email me your questions or answer them live here on the calls. And then, we've got these calls every second and fourth Thursday of the month. So the next one would be, you can mark your calendar July the 9th and then July the 23rd. The next second and fourth Thursdays and at 9 a.m. Pacific and 12 Eastern. And so, more people should be joining us on the call here, too. So just, I want to have you introduce yourselves. I know, Rob, you're new here. Do you want to, and we've got Michelle, do you want to introduce yourself to everyone here? It's just why, what you do and why you wanted to start the course.
Great. My name is Rob Wortman. I'm in Sacramento, California. I have been a collegiate coach for 16 seasons in the past years, and I left coaching for a little while. I just recently rejoined about two seasons ago, and I've also been very fascinated by the mind-body concept. So I actually studied under a doctor of psychotherapy for 2 years. I was his mentor. He was my mentor, and I worked alongside him in his psychotherapeutic practice. I do body work. I was a massage therapist and studied lots of dance modalities. Anyways, cut it short a little bit. I've been looking for some sort of way to integrate the two as well. My passion has always been athletics. So I wanted to find a way to work with athletes with their minds more than just their bodies, because that's one of the keys that's missing in a lot of coaching endeavors. Anyway, so I contacted Dr. Joanne and have now signed up, and I'm really excited.
Yeah, great. Welcome, Rob. I'm so glad that you're part of our program. And, Michelle's here, too. Do you want to introduce yourself to Rob, too, Michelle?
Hi, Rob. Nice to meet you. I'm calling from Vancouver, Canada, and finished Joanne's course, I think, maybe 8 months ago. And was living overseas and just moved back in September back to Canada and have launched my business. And it's going surprisingly well. And I'm finding that there's people in our community are very open and receptive and to sports psychology coaching, and there seems to be a real desire for it. So it's worked really well in my favor. And yeah, I'm just really enjoying it. So, and I love these calls to just get the support if you have questions and so on with clients you're working with. It's been fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great.
Cool.
Thanks, Michelle. Can you tell Rob kind of what some of the things you're doing with after taking the course? What clients you're working with?
I just got a German hockey player.
Wow.
Which has been kind of interesting. And I've been working with a girl that just completed recently in the Worlds in fencing. I have a national field hockey girl I'm working with, a bunch of tennis players. I've got a surfer in Indonesia. So a bunch of cyclists. So, yeah, I kind of feel like I'm getting the sports covered now.
Yeah, you're really diversifying.
Yeah, and I'm amazed at how quickly that the young athletes pick up on this stuff. So it's been they're really excited about it and excited to take their sport to the next level. And I think they know that this can give them the edge that might just set them apart from their competition. And I love the whole idea of the MP3 audio files, because in a way you're always with them. You become like their virtual coach, and I love that connection with them. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and with your fencer that went to the World Championships, did she? How did that go?
Yeah, she did okay. She was top in our country, and I think overall maybe 12th, if I remember correctly, or 14th. She was in a couple of different, you would know, Joanne, there's a couple of different types of categories, right?
Uh-huh.
There's a team category and the individual, and they did better in the team category as far as I remember. And then she just won nationals recently.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a neat sport. It's a whole other language you have to learn. Wow.
Yeah, since you hadn't done it before yourself.
Yeah.
And you said, what are the other sports? Hockey?
Hockey, yeah.
Field hockey? Or, I mean...
field hockey. Field hockey. I've been helping her with her mental training as well as sport nutrition. I'm also offering that service. I find that a lot of these national and provincial level athletes, they don't really understand sport nutrition, that sort of 24-hour period before and after their event and how to fuel properly and so on for the tournament. So it's been a nice addition to what I've been doing. It's just given me an extra, tool in my toolbox. So that's been really helpful. And cyclists, I've got an aerialist as well right now who's on the junior national freestyle team for Canada. And did you say skiing?
For those that don't know what an aerialist is, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's freestyle skiing. And she's had a bad fall, and she's got some issues around fear that she's trying to overcome. So I've been working with her and applying what you have told me, Joanne, in our last call.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, just kind of creating a new movie in her mind and all that.
Well, and I liked what you said about going back to that time of innocence when she was slipping successfully.
Right.
And what her mindset was like during that period of her career and bringing her back into that mindset.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, when she first, that's always a good technique for anyone to, if they're having problems in the sport, to go back to the time when they're first getting into the sport, ask what attracted you to that sport.
Yeah.
And what,
and I got a good gig happening at a local high-performance academy starting in September where I'm going to be on their staff. And
great.
I'm going to be working with, they've got 4 high-performance teams, and they want me to be their mental coach. So that's really exciting. I think then I'm going to get good and busy, which I like.
Wow, that's great. So how did you... can you just share what you would you be a staff, full-time staff person or a consultant there? Work so many hours?
Yeah, a consultant.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so they have, it's a very affluent area here on the North Shore of Vancouver, and parents will go to any lengths to support their kids
uh-huh.
in their sporting endeavors, which works out very well for me.
Yeah.
And so they've got these 4 different high performance teams there, and they've got all the coaching and the physios and that sort of their coaching staff, but they don't have anybody in the sports psychology realm. And they had been talking about getting someone in, and I had just sent them an email at the perfect timing. So, and then I went and met the woman there who heads it up, and it's her daughter who, she said, well, you might as well get started on my daughter, and she's a freestyle skier. So that's been kind of fun. And, I'm not on their payroll. They basically will be promoting me. I'll be in their newsletters. There'll be a picture of me up in the gym and so on. I'm going to be meeting with the coaches in the beginning of September just to tell them what I do. And then they just tack on a percentage on what I charge.
Uh-huh.
And so I can work out of an office there, or I can just continue doing as I'm doing here. So it actually hasn't affected my freedom or flexibility at all, and I think it's going to give me some more business, so it'll be great.
Yeah, when you get you're in the newsletter, it's basically like free advertising. A lot of people have to pay for advertising, which can be really expensive. So you can be in the newsletter, part of the staff or the consulting staff, then you get a lot more credibility that way. That's a great and that's a good suggestion for everyone to if you can get involved with a club or any kind of organization. And then get in their newsletter every month with a link to your website and all. Then you can people can be contacting you, within the club there. If you work out something to meet with them there, or you can have them meet in your own office, kind of thing. Yeah, would the people at this High Performance Academy meet you outside at the club there, or outside in your own place? Michelle?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question.
Well, I just wondered when you get clients of the High Performance Academy, did they want you to meet with them there at the club, or is there a physical place that they meet, or on your own in your own office?
Yeah, it's entirely up to me what I want to do. So they have an office there for me that I can, because the kids all train there. They have an ice rink. They've got an Olympic pool. They've got the training facilities completely done up for these guys. So, and it's a 5-minute drive from my house, so easy enough for me to just go there and work out of their office.
Yeah, it's great to have that flexibility.
Yeah.
So great, yeah. Rob, it's good to... That you can hear kind of what other people can do and what's possible in this area.
Sounds great.
Yeah. And do you have any, either of you have any questions before we talk about the speaking?
I'd like to ask Michelle a question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Go ahead.
No, not
Michelle,
at all.
How did you get into Dr. Joanne's program, but once you got out of that, how did you get into like the national team stuff and things like that?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I just set it as my goal, and I wanted to work with high-level athletes. And I don't know. It's like I kind of set that as my intention, Rob, and I just even did visualizations around that. And seeing myself attracting this type of client base. I've competed at national level sports myself in a variety of sports. And I thought, I've got the background in sport, and I've got Joanne's training, and I've got her support, and I'm just going to go for it. And that's how I did it. Sometimes I have to psych myself up at the beginning because I can easily start talking to myself and go, oh, I don't really deserve to be here, and I'm still so new at this. But I just have to just brush those thoughts aside, and I spend a bit more time preparing so that I'm 120% there available for them. And if in the first meeting I just make a point of giving them something helpful that they can use today, and that seems to be enough to keep them coming back for more. I find after 4 or 5 meetings with somebody, I feel like they're okay to go on their own, and they don't want to. They want to keep coming back. It's been really interesting.
Yeah, that's a really good sign that you're doing the right things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just tell Rob what you did to market yourself? I think you did a lot of really good things, like talking about sending out a letter or emailing or phoning, or how did you go about that?
Yeah, I've pretty much done everything you've told us to do, Joanne. I think my website turned out really well. I think I have a lot of credibility as an athlete in my neighborhood, which definitely helps. And then I've written a ton of articles for local sporting magazines and newspapers that have gotten published, surprisingly, and then I'll put a link to those articles in the email that I send, and that helps my credibility as well. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit flat today because my dog is, she's on her way out, so
okay.
You're not getting me at my best moment right now, so if I'm sounding flat, it's not because of the subject matter, that's for sure.
Oh, it's all right. Yeah, you sound great.
you've given me quite a bit to start with anyway. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah.
You won't be disappointed. I think the timing is right for this stuff, too. Like, Dr. Joanne, you've said that many times, that people are they're looking for this now, and that's what I've noticed, too. People are extremely open and excited about it.
Yeah, and it's there isn't the... You know, maybe many years ago, 30 years ago, there was a stigma. People thought, oh, psychology, or I must be a head case, or that kind of thing. And there isn't any of that. I don't see any of that at all now. It gets talked about so much, the area of sports psychology and mental training, that people look at it as an advantage and something they can brag about.
Yeah.
As opposed to hiding it. They want to... I feel like it gives them the edge over other people, and
mm-hmm.
and
they actually don't know very much about this. The athletes, even the national level athletes, they really haven't done much around visualization and, you know, the present focus and the power words and all of that stuff. So this is all very new information to them, which I find shocking. So it makes you really look like an expert. It's amazing how little information these kids are getting.
Yeah. When you think about how the power of our brains and how that the brain is really what makes everything else work, yet parents put tons of money and resources into coaches for their kids, their athletes, and people train the body, but then they don't think about the most important part, the mind, and the the prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain in the front, is our executive function. So it's the part that's making decisions, making judgments, putting our mental spin on everything. And so that's the part that is most neglected is the part that's most critical, I think. So if you can put it in those terms with people that you're marketing to, it works great. And tell a story. You know, you've got great stories, Michelle, of athletes you've worked with. And I'm sure you do too, Rob, with stories of athletes that you've worked with, even, working with the mental part of training on your own, right?
I definitely do. I led the team to a national championship in 1989. With a visualization exercise before we even stepped in the gym the first time. And the year before I got there, I was the assistant coach. The year before, they finished last in their conference. And that year, my first year there, we went on to win the national championship. And like I said, the first meeting I ever had with the girls, I led them through a visualization exercise of us going to the national championships. And it was just, it was mind-blowing, the coincidences that all just fell into place during the season.
Wow.
Toward the
Wow, that is powerful. Yeah, and that was that basketball or which sport?
Volleyball. I've been a volleyball player.
Yeah. So that's great. Having that intention, like both of you are saying, and visualizing it every day is very powerful. Seeing. Go ahead. Were you going to say something?
No, I was nodding in agreement.
Agreement, yeah. Yeah, like before I had done the Hawaii Ironman triathlon, I had never done anything of that length before, but I visualized it every day for months beforehand, seeing myself getting through each aspect of the sport, and that led me to getting through the entire event, even though after finishing the bike ride, swim and then the bike portion, I felt like I was ready to quit, but drew on my sports psychology to mental training to go to a time when I was strong and visualize myself earlier in at an earlier event when I won the San Francisco Marathon, and visualizing that and how strong I felt there. And it was just really powerful. With that visualization, I started out in 19th place in the marathon, and then gradually worked my way all the way up to second place. So it just shows how powerful the mind can be. It's really just, I think it's essential for everybody, for most athletes. If you think about that, everyone needs sports psychology. You don't have to have a head problem at all. Everyone needs this stuff, and there's just the field is wide open for us. Yeah. Did someone else just join us, or was that Michelle just coming back on?
It's me coming back on. I don't know what happens with my connection up here. Maybe we're too far away.
Oh, yeah. It's okay. Yeah, that's common with people in other countries. But I'm glad you're not that far away.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the speaking and some things that we can do to bring in more athletes and help yourself get known. You know, even if you're not comfortable with speaking, or if you haven't done a lot of it. I hadn't done any at all when I first started, and was pretty boring. And I tell people I was boring. People were snoring, but I and I was mumbling, fumbling, all of that. But it's just like sports, like anything else. If you practice, the more you practice, the more confident you get at it, and you get a lot smoother. So it's something that you can just get really comfortable with. And then once you develop one talk, you really only need one, one good talk or presentation. And you can just give that same talk over and over again to find different audiences. If you're doing a workshop or something like that where you're working with one team for several sessions, of course, then you need to develop different material there. But I'm talking about a talk that you can give for marketing purposes and to teach people and to promote yourself. If you just have one, think about it as putting in the effort to create one good talk that you can think of it like your signature speech, and it could be just 20 minutes or half hour or 45 minutes, something in that range. Then it's something that you can think of it as like building an asset, so that you can no matter who asks you to, if someone that does ask you to give a talk, or if you have different contacts, you can always always ask for the opportunity to tell them that you give you could give a talk to their group, and then you can just pull out your signature speech, and you can use it for so many purposes, for for marketing yourself, for positioning yourself as the expert. And building your resume, if you're speaking at a place that's very very prestigious, then you can put that helps on your resume too. And you can also, of course, get talk about, demonstrate during the talk. Maybe you have someone come up and you can do a little bit of coaching, so that you can demonstrate what you do with coaching. So that you can then say that I do this sort of thing, with athletes, with clients, and then make a special offer at the end. Maybe I'd mentioned earlier, often one thing that works well is just saying a three-session special for $297, and that's a really it seems like that's a good number that people will easily go with. $297. It's in general, just one sales tip, as research has shown, if you have a number that ends in 7 or has 7 in it, then it's more friendly, more user friendly than a 9. So I know it's the difference between $297 and $299 is not much at all. Sounds kind of silly, but for some reason people go for the 7s. So if you can, whatever you sell, if you can make it 97 or 197, 297, 997, that it works better. And then, you know, also products are really important to be able to sell something at the back of the room. I'll give an example of that. Was actually in Vancouver. Are you still there, Michelle? If she's there, or maybe she went off with her dog.
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I'm back, Joanne. Sorry, I'm muted.
Oh, no problem. Because your dog is, so that's fine. But I was just going to say that one of my best speaking experiences was in Vancouver, where you are, Michelle, and Vancouver in Canada, for the 2010 Winter Olympics. And there was a nutrition company that asked me to speak there beforehand. So I, during that week of the Olympics, so they arranged a room for me to speak in, and they paid my way up there. Oftentimes, what you want to ask for, if you are traveling somewhere, you know, ask for a speaking fee plus travel arrangements, plus travel expenses. You don't want to have them pay you something and then have to pay your travel expenses out of the speaking fee, but always make the travel expenses separate kind of thing. So sometimes people have a budget for a speaking fee, sometimes they don't. But if they don't, then I just say, well, if you'll pay my travel expenses, well, we can do the talk that way. So if I see that there's an opportunity there to gain clients and to sell products, then that's worth it. And for me, it was a chance to get to the Olympics, too, because the people there were part of this nutrition company, and they one woman said that I could stay, you know, would provide private housing for me to stay at her home during the Olympics, and I was actually working with two athletes up there during the Olympics, so it served several purposes, and I was able to, because it's hard if you go to an Olympics, which, you know, is the ultimate goal of, you know, probably many of us in sports psychology here, like the Brazil Olympics are coming up next year. It's great to be able to go there, but it's really, housing is really hard to find. If you want to stay in a hotel, you know, you have to book it two or three years, you know, a couple of years in advance kind of thing, and the prices are outrageous. So it's better to, and of course you don't know if your athletes are going to be going to the Olympics, get selected, until maybe a month or two before. So, you know, that it's not really practical to try to find, you know, a hotel or something at an Olympics that far in advance. So it's much better if you have a friend or an associate that you could stay with in their home. So one way to do that is to offer to give a talk, a speech. And so that's what they had asked me at this nutrition group at another event, if I would come speak there. So it all worked out so I could come to the Olympics and give the talk. And then they promoted it ahead of time. You want to make sure that they get lots of people there. And so the room was packed. It was like standing room only, 150 people or so. And you want to prepare, if you can prepare some PowerPoint slides. If they have a screen, that's great. And so you can give your, have some visuals there as well. And then I had my book, so I brought them up there. And if you have a book, you can, always bring your books to the talk. Another option too is some people like to sell the Your Performing Edge book, and you could, I sell them to you at a discount, and then you can sell them to other people at the full price kind of thing. So if you ever want those, you can always ask me, and I can get them to you. But anyway, I brought my two boxes of books along, and then I had books, and then I also had created an audio program, a 12 CD set, and also have one visualization CD. So those are just some examples of different products. The 12 CD set is essentially like my book on tape, but with more materials in there, and also it's commentary about different things, and I've also got a PDF, a data CD on there. And so you can make a kind of a package of a group of CDs that you would sell there, or you could sell that program that's available digitally, and then you could have it on a private area of your website too, so you wouldn't have to deal with the CDs as well. But I had them there. It seems like at when you're giving talks, people like to have physical products, and it's easier. It may have something there. And if you another way that you can create a physical product is to just record your talk in advance. Like we all like to practice. It's really important to practice your talk, what you're going to say. So you could just take a microphone and record it ahead of time. That allows you to practice and record the talk in a quiet environment. And then you could just copy lots of CDs if you want to do the low tech way. Just do it on your computer there, or you can get a small CD duplicator and. That's what I did, and then took the CDs up there. And so what I did was gave the talk ahead of time. I told them that I wanted to be able to have a table in the back to sell products and to sell my research. It's really important to call them resources rather than products, because it sounds less salesy, and they really are resources for people. And even if you have just a small pamphlet or something that you can sell there and that has your contact information in it and that you can autograph that, that's great in the back of the room. Or you can, another option is, just having something there, a handout, you can start with a simple, 10-point handout that summarizes what you've talked about, and you can have those at the back of the room, and sometimes people like you to have you autograph those just for a nice personal touch. So I arranged that there, and then what you want to do is get your bio together. An introduction. So because you'll have someone else introduce you. Much better to have someone else, promote you and introduce you and build your credibility than you doing it yourself. And so if you can write a real nice introduction, I can give you an example, send you one in the next email here of the that I send to all of you, the one that I did. You can even have a little humor in it to get people laughing. That helps a lot to break the ice. So have a person introduce you, and then give your talk. And if you can, for instance, if I was at the Olympics there, and I could tell stories about the athletes I was working with at the Olympics, so that's make it relevant to the place where you're talking. And during the talk I made my announcement about that I would be willing to work with people with coaching for the 297, and so that was something that you wanted. You could introduce that in the beginning or in the middle somewhere toward the end, but not you want to end on a strong note of say a little short story or a summary of something. It's important to not end with selling something, but to always end with do your if you're going to make an offer or talk about coaching, do that right before you tell your final point or story, so that they remember the story at the end, because people remember most the first 30 seconds and the last 30 seconds of your talk the most, and that's where you want to give your best impression. So what I was going to say is, with making your recording, you can record the talk and then turn it into a CD, and then just sell those CDs in the back of the room. Say if anyone would like to hear this talk, you know, if you'd like to have a recording of this, I'm selling those there in the back, and you can even make it so without fancy packaging. At first, you can just have them be just raw, regular CDs, and then you know, have a pen there and autograph the CDs to each person, and it makes it really personalized that way. So those are and what happened there at the Vancouver event was they created what's called a table rush, where everyone wanted to come back to the table and get purchase the resources there. And I'd never seen anything like that, where it was so overwhelming. I had to have someone actually have people take a number and stand in line. If you have a lot of people in line, have them give a number, and then if they have then they could be filling. It's good to have an order form, and you can have people filling out the order form in line there with their information, and if they're going to pay with credit card, have them be filling that out, so when they come up, they can just give you that, and you can give them their products. But it was amazing. I sold, I can't remember, it was several thousand dollars worth of resources, products, that day, and it was astounding how well it works. And I was just so gratified for and happy for the chance to go to Vancouver in the first place and be part of the Olympics, and then combine the speaking engagement with that. So if there's any kind of events coming up, a national championship or a conference or you know, marathons work well. Even if you know about running, marathon, every major marathon, there's often an expo ahead of time the day before, so there's a chance to speak at the clinics there, at the clinic, as part of the expo the day before, and so that's a great way to get exposure to people too. I've done that many times, and I would say offer to give a talk there. I've actually been paid before, like $3,000 and $5,000 for speaking fee at different marathons, as well as in addition to travel expenses. But so you can ask for a fee, or if they don't have, or the second choice, if they don't have a budget, then just what you can do is just offer to give a talk there at the expo. Or the, you know, it's like a trade show kind of thing with lots of booths. But those booths cost a lot of money. A lot of people pay, $1,000, $3,000, $5,000 for a really good position booth there. But you can say, I'll give my talk in exchange for a complimentary booth at the expo. And so I've done that many times. And so you can give your talk during the sporting event. And then they give you a booth. You can work out an agreement, so they give you a complimentary booth there and ask for one in a good placement where there's lots of traffic. And then you can set up your products there or your brochures about your coaching. And you get thousands of people coming by traffic to talk about what you do, and it's a fantastic way to get clients. So most sports have those kinds of events, so that's a great way to get a speaking engagement as well. But I wanted to tell you that story about Vancouver to show you kind of what is possible. That was one of the best experiences I had had there. I wanted to talk to you about putting together a one page. It's called Speaking One Page, which is kind of describing what you do in your talk. And first, just let me, Brett, can ask, do any of you have any questions so far about speaking, or just about how to connect that with your clients?
I don't yet, because I don't have the clients yet, but hopefully in the near future I will.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, but it's a great way to give to get exposure out there. Let's see. So one page means that something that you just have that's one page long that you can have as a PDF or a Word document or a and also as a physical sheet if you want that just basically gives a example of what you would do in a talk. So at the top you'd want to have a headline. So and these kinds of talks can be given for athletes, for athlete organizations, for sports organizations, universities, or also corporate talks as well in business settings. You could also practice by going to a Kiwanis Club or a Chamber of Commerce and give talks there. I mean, not just practice, but actually give a talk there for business folks to get and use these same techniques for business clients too. So, one of my titles here on my one sheet is just high energy. I've got one for high energy corporate presentations and then high energy athlete presentations. And then I put dynamic keynotes and training seminars and then put my name, Dr. Joanne Dahlketter, and then title underneath that. I just said, like, coach to CEOs and Olympic gold medalists. You could say coach to, the top athletes or whatever you want. And you can also put, as you're certified here, and when you become certified, just put, certified performing edge coaching professional. Or you can call yourself sports psychology consultant, sports psychology coach. But this certification from this program is really valuable, too. And then you might want to put a small testimonial under there if you can get a quote from an athlete or a coach. Or in your talk, if you've got somebody that, another organization, a sports organization you've given a talk for that it has good things to say about you, you could put something there, just a short little quote by them. Like I got to know Dr. Dennis Waitley, who's the author of Psychology of Winning and a real classic author in the field of sports psychology. And he and I have spoken at a different corporate talk. And so he wrote, Dr. Dahlketter and I appear as keynote speakers on the same platform at national conventions. She has the education, state-of-the-art knowledge, and hands-on experience to put you at the top in the game of life. So that was a short quote I included there. And if you have a quote from anyone, and as you get better known, you can always change the quote as you get better quotes kind of thing. So that's always nice to have some kind of a testimonial or small quotation there. And then I put a small paragraph about what you do. Like I have, for instance, Dr. Joanne Dahlketter is an in-demand, internationally recognized keynote speaker, performance consultant, and world-class athlete. Her audiences, clients and audiences include, and then you could, fill that out with whatever you do, all the audiences or clients you've worked with, or even if you've done just a complimentary work for some athletes, do that so that you can include that there. I said her audiences and clients include top executives, multinational corporations, champion athletes, and coaches. Her work with Olympic champions and business executives gives her special insight into using the mind-body connection to achieve the best in personal performance. So that's kind of an opening paragraph about you can put something about what you do there. And then and then career highlights, put the things that you've done so far, the different places you might have worked or things that you've done as an athlete yourself. If you write a short an article or write in any magazines or if you can get even, like Michelle, you were getting writing articles for businesses, for small businesses, then you can include that, author, published in, you know, this magazine or that sort of thing. If you've been on any media shows, if you can get on local radio or TV, whenever there's a big sporting event coming up or a controversy in sports, that's a good time to call the local radio stations or TV and say that you could comment on that, what's gone on in that area. So putting your career highlights there is good. And then the next part, the last most important part at the bottom is putting titles for your different programs. Now, you might just have one program, or you could give it, there might be two or three different ways, parts of it, ways that you could spin it, depending on what group that you're talking to. So, for instance, I've got one, I titled one talk, Your Performing Edge, Positive Images, Power Words, Present Focus. So, you know, it's the three P's of your performing edge as one title. And then I've got another one, How to Build a Healthy, Balanced Lifestyle, Professionally and Personally. So that's another title. Another one, Learning the Winning Strategies of Champions. So those are different kinds of training programs that you could use. Think of your own titles that might work well for you. And then if you have a specific sport that you're going to be talking toward, then you want to, gear the title toward that group. So, peak performance strategies for high school basketball players or mental training tactics for softball in college or whatever it is that you want to gear it towards. So you can have those kinds of different titles too. So put a list of the different titles of talks that you might do there on the one sheet, and then put your contact information at the bottom. Of course, your email, phone, and website if you have one. So those are the different parts of the what I call the speaking one sheet, and this is something that's important to have so that if you give a talk or this is something you put on your website as well as you put it on a Facebook page and then email it to any people that you might want to give a talk for. So you've got it just easy as a Word document or a PDF file. It's just putting the title at the top and then a subtitle and then of what you do. Like I put dynamic keynotes and training seminar, high energy presentations and then dynamic keynotes and training seminars and then your name, your title, your testimonial or just a small quote from someone. And then a small paragraph about what you do, and then your career highlights. So that's a way of kind of like putting your resume, but making it smaller. And if you put your bio in kind of this way of just bullet points, I just listed like about 10 bullet points of career highlights. That way, it's easier for people to read, and make them stand out better. And put your list of training programs or different titles for talks, and then your contact information. So that's kind of basically how to do a one sheet, and it's good to have that for any of the talks that you want to do. So that's one area. Do you have a question?
Is there any way I could get a copy of yours just to see what it looks like?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was going to say that. So I'll email that out to everyone here. My
awesome.
The one sheet and put it on. Also put it on the website there. So thank you for asking for that.
Great.
That's really important because just to have a visual of what it looks like, and then it's good to have a picture of yourself too. A face shot. So you can easily do that by. It could be even outdoors. It doesn't have to be if you have access to a portrait kind of thing, that's nice. If you don't have that, then you can just have someone take a picture of you outdoors or in good lighting kind of thing. NSA is a national, that's a great organization to look into if you're interested in more speaking. NSA stands for National Speakers Association. I went to one of their meetings. They used to have local chapter meetings. There's Northern California one, and for Sacramento there may be one there for you, Rob, and there may be chapters in Canada and other countries as well. So, and they have great information on their website, too, nsa.org, I think it is. I went to one of their meetings, and then they had a portrait person, pictures, a whole little studio set up there by a photographer, and because it was all of us there at once and we could just kind of come through, it ended up being like, I think, $75 per person to get your portrait taken. So it was much cheaper than what it would normally be for to go into a photo studio or something. So that's something that sometimes is available through different speaking organizations like that. Also, Toastmasters is a great group. There's Toast in all over throughout the U.S. and I think maybe Canada too. There's in other countries. There's if you look at look up Toastmasters, that they have opportunities to. It's very inexpensive to join, and then you can go each week and practice one of your talks. And so you get feedback from the people there. Each person gets an evaluator, and you work on things like, putting together your talk and your vocal variety and your gestures and looking professional and all those little things. As we know, 95% of communication is nonverbal. So if you're talking in front of a group, people are not only listening to your words, but they're listening to just how your energy, how you come across. And so I want to talk about that maybe in a part two, a little bit more next time too. And our next talk on July 9th, we can talk more about the actual content of your talk. Today I wanted to talk more about the kind of the promotion, how to set it up. Toastmasters is a good group to be able to practice in front of a group to practice your talk. Or if you don't have access to a Toastmasters or can't go there, then it's good to just always practice your talk in front of in front of a mirror first. Also, if you have family members or a couple of friends, you can invite them over. One technique is to just have say two friends there and put the chair and then have chairs. So, just have them listen to maybe all your talk or part of it or 20 minutes or so. If you have two friends, put the two chairs separate from each other, one, say, far on the right and one a little further on the left, so that you can get practice, looking at one person on the left on one side of the room and say two or three sentences to that one person, and then come over and look at the other person on the other side of the room and give, say, two or three sentences. Now, you don't want to do what's called the sprinkler technique. So too many people do that where they're just, their head is constantly moving around the room, but they're not really looking at any one person. Your head's more like a sprinkler shooting around, and that doesn't look very professional or personal. So what you want to do is look at one, so that's a good technique to practice with one chair on the left and looking at that one person for one or two sentences and then look at the other person for one or two sentences back and forth. So that gives you good practice of doing that. And if you're in a room full of people, then you'd want to, pick out one or two people that are friends or people that you can talk to ahead of time, arrive ahead of time and talk to people there so that you have a couple of people you kind of know or develop a little rapport with, and then you can, they can be sort of like your friends in the audience, and you can talk, look at them, and you could ask them, can I look, kind of focus on you during the first few minutes of my talk so that I can sort of have a friendly face out there, and most people would say they'd be happy to. That way you don't feel like you're talking to a whole group of people, but you're just talking to one one friendly person. So, Rob will get the one sheet to you and to everyone here, and an example of my introduction to, and then you can fill in the blanks with what you do. And let's see, some other things that I wanted, just a couple of things to hit on are, a flyer. A flyer is similar to, the one sheet, but the one sheet is more for sending to the meeting planner, the person who's making the decision about your talk and what you do. And then after that, if you get it set up, then you'd want to have a flyer. And a lot of times the meeting planner will develop that or will put that together for you. But in the flyer, you want to say, a few things that you, again, your title at the top, who you are, a picture of yourself, and then what you'll be talking about. And then there you want to, not put so much about your bio, but you want to put, the key thing is your bullet points of what you want to cover, the benefits. You want to think of, people are thinking, there's a term, what's in it, WIFM, and WIFM stands for what's in it for me. And so that's what people coming to your talk, and also clients, too, are asking that, wanting to know what's in it for me, what am I going to get out of this talk, why should I come, or why should I want to work with this person. Thinking of different things that you could say that will help them to, know what you're doing. One example was, some different bullet points. Just like on the back of my book, I wrote, learn the winning strategies of the world's greatest athletes. Energize. You could pick like five words and then put the five words on the left-hand side in bold and then fill them out with each line. Learn the winning strategies of the world's greatest champions. Energize your mind and body and spirit. Create new motivation. Align your goals with your vision. Build a healthy and balanced lifestyle. Focus your effort and gain performance to perform your best. Those are examples of, some bullet points. Or you could say, as a little title above that, something about this comprehensive talk contains all the techniques that Dr. Joanne teaches, the pros, including training tools, tips, and exercises. So something like that. If you can give five or so bullet points of things that you want your audience to learn, and think of it in terms of benefits, because you want them to not just learning different terms and information, and not just the academic stuff, but as I said, people are asking what's in it for me. So, what are the benefits? What am I going to get out of this? And so, most athletes want to be able to, perform better, those kinds of things. Just kind of brainstorm what are the benefits for your athletes. Perform better, feel more, calmer, have more confidence. Those kinds of things are what people are coming for. Visualize, have more energy. Perform under pressure. Those kind of things are universal things that I've heard athletes want, and be able to feel good about their, be able to perform well under any conditions. So those are kind of really good benefits that you can offer people that we're going to make a huge that would make them want to come to your talk and then become clients of yours. And I always, whenever I'm promoting myself or giving, you know, talking to someone that wants a meeting plan or someone that wants me to speak, or same thing with a client, I just assume that they're going to want to work with me. You know, I know that, that may sound like overconfident, but just like Michelle, you were saying, visualizing, you said you just went for it, decided that you wanted to be successful in this area, and you're doing a fantastic job, Michelle, of doing that, and you just visualized it, had the intention of being successful, and then you just went for it. And you, if you assume or see that that someone's going to want to have you speak, and see the clients, the athletes are going to want to work with you, and see it really being successful, then chances are there's no guarantees of what happens in life, but it certainly raises the chances that people are, most people are going to want to work with you, even whether they're right away or down the road. You've got your information, and it's all about attitude, right? Just like we teach our athletes that they need to have the right attitude to be successful in their sport, in the same way you need to have the right a good attitude about yourself as a performing edge coach, and being able to see it happening, see the athletes being impressed by what you're doing. You know, I visualize talking in front of a group and people nodding and smiling and saying, yes, I understand, yes, I want to listen to you. And just visualizing that, visualizing them laughing at the right time, and just visualize having a good time and enjoying the people there. And I've found that speaking is actually one of the most gratifying things I've ever done, even though at first it was one of the scariest things, because they say, you know, fear of public speaking is one of the number one fear that people have. But once you work through that and are able to get in front of people, you realize they're just people, and they're just people with fears and anxieties, and just like all of us, and they're all just wanting to learn from you. And you can make it a really wonderful experience. And when people ask you questions, and then you can respond right there, you realize that the question that person's asking, probably everyone's asking, and you can tell maybe a story from either of your own experience or a client you've worked with, tell it from the heart. People really get to know you and like you and love you, and they want to work with you. And it's one of the best ways to get to really advance your career and be as well as learn from your audience what they want, because a lot of people think, well, here's what I do, and I got to find people that want that. But the best thing is to actually, you know, find out what does your audience want, what do athletes want, what are they struggling with, and if you can visualize a wheel, and you are at the center of the wheel, you know, the hub of the wheel, like a bicycle wheel, and the spokes going out, and what you have to offer. Your message is at the hub of the wheel, and then on the outside of the wheel, the rim all the way around the outside are is your market, and what your target market, and what people want, your clients, and in between the hub and the outside of the wheel, imagine the spokes of a bicycle wheel. And all those spokes are the way that you get your message out there, you know, through your speaking, your website, social media, your articles, all of that. And so if you can find out, most people go from the center, from the, just figuring out what their message is, and then they wonder, well, is anybody going to want this? But it's much better to find out from your market, what is it they want? What are they struggling with? And because that's what people will pay for is solutions to their problems. So when you're speaking for people, you can really find out what it is they're struggling with and connect with them there. And I'm always learning, continually learning what people want, and it's a lot of times it's changing. And one way to find out, too, is in this last email that I just sent you, at the very, if you look at the very bottom of the email, is what I call a PPQ. I talked about that a little bit in the last call 2 weeks ago. And so PPQ is a program, pre-programmed questionnaire. And so you can use that. I'd say copy and paste that into a document for yourself. And it's just an example. That's an example of one that I used to talk to a running group. Now, you can take that and customize it for yourself. Take out maybe the word running and put in baseball or softball or volleyball or aerial skiing, whatever it is you're working with, and take out my name and put in your name there. Just totally customize it for yourself. And but just the example, the questions that I have there are really good ones, I think, to ask people. And you can take that questionnaire and use it two different ways. You could send it, have your meeting planner send it out in an email to all the participants that would be coming, and then they can answer those questions. And then you start to, in your, this is so valuable, because then you get all these great answers of what things people are struggling with, and then you can include those in your talk. And you can say, maybe without saying their name, but just say, one person here asked about this, and one person struggling with this in this group. And so it really allows you to, you know, speak to the specific needs of that particular group because they filled out your questionnaire ahead of time. So that's a great way to do it by email. And then also a second way, I'd say maybe do both, is to take this questionnaire, the pre-programmed questionnaire. It's the one I sent you at the bottom of this last email that came in, that I sent last night. And you can ask those questions to your meeting planner, to the person that's planning the meeting. And maybe even sometimes they say, can I talk to one or two of the main participants, people that would be coming or other athletes, and ask those people those questions too, so you get a real sample. So, for instance, asking, what are your three most pressing concerns that I could address and attempt to solve for you on this date, whatever it is that I'll be speaking? And what do you hope to learn from my presentation? What are the five questions you've always wanted to have answered from someone like me? And people will come up with great questions. What are your top five stressors or challenges as a, well, I put runner, but you could put as a athlete or whatever sport you're working with or coach. Tell me about your breakthroughs, your success stories, what's worked well for you. And people like to tell their goal, you know, what, maybe if they've just won a championship somewhere, you know, they'd like to be able to feel good about that and tell you what has worked so that you can then build on that. And, you know, ask them, what other insights would you have that would help me better understand your needs and the challenges of your training or work? You know, you could ask that of athletes or of coaches. And what takes place in your, you know, your training or your coaching that would surprise me, so that you come up with some new things too. And then list any humorous buzzwords or pet peeves or inside jokes in your club that I might find for humorous material, and you'll come up with maybe some funny stuff. That's great to make people laugh, and that way it makes you look like an insider and someone that is in the know, so you're not coming in from the outside, but you really know their inside joke. If you can, you know, be part of that, all of a sudden you transform yourself into, you know, one of the club inside them. So it's just amazing how well that works. Finding something funny that you can say that they can laugh about, something, you know, that maybe only they know about. And then what performance tools and skills do you want to leave with? What would you like to take away from my talk? And then ask them to email you those responses. Of course, put in your email there, take out mine. And then those are some just really good questions that you can, and then you might want to give them, below I gave them a three P's, you know, different a gift of, you know, three things that they might want to, you could take those out and put in your own information or some tips that you want to give them. So that way they have a little reward for answering these questions. So, this has worked so well for me with different talks where you can actually go through you know, even read some of the just the responses right there in the talk, and then people feel like, wow, she's really talking to me, or she really, you know, took the time to read my questionnaire and understand my concerns. So, so those are some things I wanted to bring up this time, and then next time I'll, when we talk again on June or July the 9th, we'll talk more about the you know, how to put together a talk, and also just about coaching clients too, and how you can integrate coaching your clients there, and how you can be able to promote yourself in many different ways that you can promote yourself. So let me just check in with all of you. Was that helpful for you? And any questions that you might have?
It was very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, good, Rob. Thanks. Yeah, Michelle, are you still there? I'm not sure.
Thanks, Dr. Dillon. That was great.
Okay, good. Yeah, what was the most, any kind of nuggets? I like to always go around at the end and see what was the most helpful thing that you heard today, or something that your biggest takeaway?
For me, it was the one page. Sorry, go ahead, Michelle.
Go ahead, Rob.
For me, it was the one page. It was how to set it up, and I'm looking forward to seeing your copy, and I'll be able to produce something similar for my own market here.
Yeah. Okay, great. It's always good to have that for anything, for stocks that are happening, or just something that you could have actually a one page like that for your speaking, and then create another one page for your coaching. You know, just instead of you know, programs that you talk about, you could list you know, the different benefits that you have for your coaching. So great. Yeah, Michelle.
It was, I mean, I'm not at that point to do public speaking. That actually really freaks me out, to be totally honest. So,
it's good, great that you're totally honest, because everybody gets freaked out.
And find out what their needs are, as opposed to going in with our own agenda and thinking what, you know, and just sticking to sort of a plan that we follow. We need to be open to their needs and their wants and concerns.
Yeah, good, okay. And one thing, if you're not, speech sounds really formal too, but talk is a better word. Sometimes I've given talks for just five people, or, you know, five or seven or 10 people, just a small group, and that's a really good way to start too. To have a smaller group there, and you can sit down and have them sit in a circle, so that it's a more informal setting, and actually start with questions, or just have them ask a bunch of questions, like from the PPQ, that's a pre-programmed questionnaire. You could actually have your whole talk be a question and answer kind of thing. That's another informal way of doing it. Ask the meeting planner to say, okay, ask me these questions here, and then she asks a question, and then you give an answer, and back and forth, so you don't feel like you're just, so it's kind of like an interview. She's interviewing you right in front of the group there, as well as people maybe asking you questions from the group. So that's another way to do it, so that you feel like you're, in fact, that in Vancouver, the last part of my talk, they did that, and it made it so that I wasn't just separate from the group, but the meeting planner was actually kind of promoting me that way, so it worked out great. That's good. And then I was just going to mention that also another way to give a talk is by phone, just, saying if, say, a running club or something, they don't have a space to be able to meet in, but they really want to hear you, you could do a teleseminar. You know, use the same service I use, free conferencingcalls.com, and you could set up a free conference call, and people could call in at a certain time, and then you could give your talk that way over the phone as a teleconference, give a little talk, and then have people ask you questions. So that's a way to kind of get your feet wet with this too, and record it, and then make it available to the group. So, great. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me, everyone. And, look forward to, so glad we could talk about this. And let me just ask, are there any other questions just about anything else in general? coaching or marketing or anything else that you wanted to ask about?
Not me at the present time.
Okay, good. All right, well, thanks. Welcome, Rob. I'm so glad you could join us today. And Michelle, and there's other people on the line, too, that I think are muted here. So that's great. Thank you that you could all join us. And this recording will be up in the in members area there in a, shortly. And just click on the yellow schedule button. And then I'll send out this the one sheet to you in an email here. And I'll put it up on the website under the resources there as well. So, thanks so much, and we'll see you all on the on July the 9th, and everyone have a happy 4th of July weekend, too.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Joanne. Bye, Rob.
Okay.
Bye, Michelle.
Okay, have a good day. All right, bye now.
You too, bye.